Thank you for staying with us. And the story this week comes out of a termed, or at the very least, a tumultuous week for the NFL when it comes to PR, and not in a good way of PR. They've always had a goal of trying to be in the media 7 days a week so they could overtake basketball, baseball, or whatever other sport is occurring at that time. We just finished with the NBA World Cup, and no one cares. Kind of like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, did it happen? Because that's how that feels. NFL's been dealing with some domestic abuse issues, with three players currently charged or been indicted on domestic abuse, two of them which were still playing up until last week, and another one which has really caused a furor to go overboard and jeopardize the league, the commissioner, and other players there. This is the follow-up from one of their most prolific running backs in my recent memory, since Emmitt Smith, or any reference, Adrian Peterson has been that player that people have watched consistently every year and has performed every year. Born in Texarkana, he has a connection to both Texas and Oklahoma. He was an Oklahoma star. So the Southwest really recognized Adrian Peterson for all he's done. He's just set records after records. This news comes out of Houston, but is reported by TMZ. And I'm reading the TMZ report because I'm really disappointed with ESPN and all the sports sites. Because they have a large contract with these companies, they're not really reporting stuff that they should be reporting or following up on it, or even being critical of the organization that they're reporting. TMZ and Deadspin have been on top of it and are gaining credibility by the day with the way that they're reporting these stories. This is about Minnesota Vikings superstar Adrian Peterson has been indicted for child abuse in North Montgomery County, Texas. Montgomery County, Texas is basically Houston. If you're in northwest Houston and go about 10 more miles, you're in Montgomery County. It is Houston. It's where Lake Conroe is. It's Sam Houston State's out in Montgomery County, and also a bunch of Confederate flags. But that's just Texas, so don't let that startle you. Sources connected to Peterson tell TMZ that the alleged victim is a male child from Minnesota who was visiting Adrian back in May at AP's home in Texas. We're told that the child returned home to his mother in Minnesota, who noticed the injuries and took the child to a doctor a short time later. The doctor contacted the authorities in Texas to report Adrian. CPS confirms that it's working on a case. Multiple sources say that it's a four-year-old boy, and he was indicted after a grand jury after the grand jury deliberated for about a week to indict him on these charges. When it originally broke that he's been indicted for child abuse for hitting his child with the switch, what was your first thought?
Well, I was brought up with, you know, if I got in trouble, yes, I'd go out and get a switch or whatever. So at first I was like, oh, okay, I don't think it's that bad. But then the pictures came out. And looking at the pictures, yeah, that was too much. I mean, yeah, I got punished with the switch, but was I bleeding? No. Like, was it called for? As far as, I mean, yeah, depending on, you know, your punishment, but still, like, it never caused bleeding. So, I think he just went overboard, especially on a four-year-old. Come on.
I have to agree. The first thought that I had was, that's a bit ridiculous. Now the prosecutors are pushing it. We're arresting people for whooping their child. Then I saw the pictures and completely changed my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, when there's...
The fact that it left scars...
Shows like, six scars, four of which have been bleeding. And then in the pictures, we're taking approximately a week after the spanking occurred. Like, when he went back home to Minnesota and everything else. So... I think that's pretty dramatic shift if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the most interesting coming out of this is seeing what people's perceptions are, what perceptions people have on corporal punishment. within those perceptions, how are they established? What is the root of their perceptions and thoughts on the process? And it also made me consider what is going to be my policy for disciplining my child. And up until this, I didn't even think about it really. And so for one, there's been a lot of defenders, even Adrian Peterson. This is the way I was brought up. Yeah. I was in a very disciplined heavy household. And a lot of people in the South, as Charles Barkley identified, this is how they came up. If you're just in the country, sometimes your grandma told you to get a switch, hit you with the spatula, hit you with the shoe, whatever they can grab onto. But there has to be a line where your abuse is occurring once you start leaving marks and pulling out blood. And yeah. What's too young to punish your child? And out of this whole thing, it's made me feel a lot worse for other people and their perceptions of it, because I think a lot of people are realizing that they were abused as a child.
Yeah.
And so some of this defensiveness might be coming from, don't blame my mom or my dad. And we're not saying like, yeah, blame them and bring them to jail too. It's like,
yeah, but that's how, I mean, that's how you grew up and that's what you know.
Uh-huh.
So that gets carried on. And yeah, as a child, you're like, okay, well, obviously I'm going to punish my child, but I'm not going to use this object, because I remember when I was young, that really hurt to me. So I'm going to use maybe something else that I wouldn't have thought wasn't so bad, but it still got the message across. So, which makes sense. 'Cause you know, for me, yes, I was punished. I think, what was it? A switch? Yes. Was I bleeding? No. Chanclas, sandals, whatever you want to call them, were punished with those. But those were, yes, they hurt, but it wasn't. It was more of the sound. Because, you know, if you get some sandals and you kind of click them together, the sound really frightened you. So that, I think that was one of those. So I know back in the day, my parents, or at least my mom, she was punished, and it was the belt. So it's like you hear that snapping sound, and you're like, okay, I remember that sound. I'm not going to get in trouble anymore, da-da-da. Now, further back then, I don't know exactly what was used, but it was probably another belt or something. But, I mean, as the generations, that's what you brought up, so it got carried down further and further along, so.
And you bring up a good point with parenting and the parenting involvement in this that was probably a complicating factor, that the women he had these children with isn't his wife, or they're not cohabitating.
Mm-hmm.
For one, they're living in completely different states in the off season. And part of that also means that the child is living in a separate household for part of the year. And I think with any co-parenting relationship, it's going to be a little tricky, because two people are never going to agree on something. And whoever has the primary custody over that child is going to get to set the rules for the most part, despite what your influence on it. And I think many of these times that people who were took whoopings that might have went too abusive, it was in a house or a home that had two parents, or a house in the home that had one parent. Oftentimes when you see parents who get separated, for whatever reason, the corporal punishment is lessened, either by one parent doesn't want to look like the angry parent or the bad parent in the child's eyes, or they have to come to an agreement to be like, look, we can't agree on how we're going to punish them, but we have to know we're not going to hit our child because whatever reasons. And people have multiple reasons, like maybe answering violence by violence isn't the best way.
Yes.
In bringing up your child. But also, a lot of people have kids young. When you're having a kid from 17 to 25, your whole life perception is different. Your patience levels are different. Your priorities in life are different. What your goals to do. And I think all that is an influence on this, especially when Adrian Peterson says, I was brought up in a household where this was normal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that normalcy is kind of a lull. He's like, well, I'm successful. I made it to the pros despite my background, despite losing two brothers, despite my dad being in jail. I made it. So something had to have worked in me that didn't work in other children.
Mm-hmm.
So I could easily see how this perception or how this is perceived by many successful people who went through this as a child. But that's not to say that just because there's a correlation there, like just because you were spanked and your parents didn't have another method to get through to you, that other method would have been ineffective.
That's true.
And I think that's where the bigger conversation is, but people don't really know how to make that conversation. And that conversation is not going to do great for ratings if Oprah took it on, or when is whooping enough? Because there's part of the population going to be like, no, never. It's never good. And there's part of the population that is adamant, like, no, this is how you raise your children.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen parents out there that they, you know, don't discipline their child, and they just kind of give up. And so you have a child screaming their heads off, and you're just standing around and everybody's looking at you. And yeah, I understand some people are like, oh, just let them cry it out and stuff. But I mean, and then there's those parents that are like, no, you need to take your child and discipline them, whether that's, you know, smack on the hand, something. But if you're just standing there not doing anything, I mean, there's different ways of disciplining your child. I mean, obviously, you're not going to go to the extent of physically harming your child. You shouldn't. I mean, come on. So, I don't know.
So, what are your thoughts on how we're going to raise our child, or what methods we're going to use?
Well, before I got pregnant... I guess the way my mom brought me, yes, we were disciplined, like I said, switch it, like about, you know, go outside, go get a switch. You know, my mom would use a sandal, you know. But other than that, I mean, I guess it was just more of a, that's the way she was brought up. And I mean, she didn't have a big, thick belt. I think if she did, she'd probably use it. But but other than that, I mean, we were pretty good children, so we never got disciplined that often. As far as having a child now, or, I mean, as I'm pregnant now, I think, you know, obviously if you... as far as disciplining... I can see smacking a child on their hand, obviously, not on their butt, because that hurts sometimes. but yeah, I can see just saying no, and then, you know, obviously if it's they keep doing it, you know, smack their hand. But other than that, that's probably about the extent that I'd probably do. So.
See, I'm completely unsure now because kind of in the same circumstance. I'm 6'3".
Yes. I mean, yeah, and strength and height and, you know, but you can physically yell at your child and it will shock them. It's like, okay, you're really serious now. And I mean, that can be punishment enough for a child and maybe not, hopefully not, quote unquote, scar them, but it's like, okay, now I know what my dad or my parent or whoever it is, it's like they're really wanting me to sit down or just pay attention or do what they're telling me to do. So,
yeah, I'm really unsure at this point because it's not that I don't believe in corporal punishment. I believe, yeah, there's instances where it's probably relevant and needed in raising a child, raising in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they used to do corporal punishments in school, I think a lot of private schools still do it. They make sure it's like in front of two people. They make sure it's a flat paddle that is not going to scar the child.
I do remember that as well.
Yeah, I've received a couple of those in school.
Oh, I never got punished at school, but I do remember, I think I was in maybe the third grade or something like that. And I remember they would, if somebody in school got in trouble and it was bad enough that they, you know, I think they would already contact the parents and say, you know, your child was doing in the wrong and that they need to be punished. But I remember they would turn off all the lights in the whole school, and our school was pretty small, and you can hear the kid being smacked and crying, and you can hear it, and it's like, and everybody had to be quiet and listen, and it's like, you know, if you get in trouble, this is what's going to happen. And that's what I remember, and it scared the crap out of me. But then again, I didn't know what they did. I just knew I needed to be a good child and that I shouldn't do, or hopefully I don't do what they did. And that's what I remember.
And I think that's the same theory behind a lot of punishment, just in general, like with the law. You have plenty of politicians that believe punishment, when you're punishing a criminal, or let's take the death penalty. Corporal punishment isn't the death penalty,
mm-hmm.
but we'll use that as an example. It's shown, like studies show, it doesn't lower crime or anything. But the original thought behind it was, you're not only punishing the person who's committed the crime of human depravity and everything else, you're influencing society as a whole, saying that if you cross this line, you no longer deserve to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be a mechanism of fear to stop people from, or to think about it when doing something.
Doing something, yeah.
Studies show that doesn't work. And we could see that in our U.S. prisons. Since they've instituted the death penalty, they've continued it. Prison population have not gone down. It's exponentially grown. And that could be due to a lot of things. The whole prison complex, how our laws are made, the drug war in the 80s. We use on all of that. But we do know it hasn't gone down because of that.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 20 years, they have gotten rid of the death penalty in a lot of states. Maybe it's a coincidence that violent crimes have decreased over the last decade. Maybe that's just more cameras around, everything else. I say all that to say, where I think there's a thin line. When you're the parent, you're not the government, an overarching person who's just supposed to care, love, secure, that kid is a part of you. You're their actual parent. I think that's the second part that I don't want to occur. That one, I feel like with the power I do have, maybe just like one little tap on the butt might be too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want my kids to be scared of me. They should have a healthy respect, but I'm not sure that's what I want to convey to them, that you should be scared of your parents.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause sure, that might work in keeping them out of trouble, but also it might get them in more trouble if they don't share things with us.
That's true.
But I don't know, maybe we need to do more research on ways to punish your children when they act up.
I know another way is just, you know, obviously if you know your child's favorite toy or your favorite candy, you know, he's like, nope, you were bad, you can't have that anymore because you did this or whatever. I mean, that's another form of punishment. Or take away their games, or take away, you know, we were going to go on that camping trip, but now we can't go anymore because, you know.
See, I do remember that out of, like, all the times I was spanked as a kid, took the whoopings. I really don't remember what they're for, but I do remember when, like, Maybe it's just because I was always in trouble. We used to go by, like, those carnivals. We didn't have state fairs in Houston, state fairs in Dallas. We didn't have a city fair like the South Plains Fair in Lubbock. We just had all those companies would come down in the off season and just set up in a parking lot and be like, it's a mini fair. And it's like a fair atmosphere, but it's in a fiesta, like far in the back corner. And you have rides, everything else, dunk tanks, scams where they could take your money for trying to knock off all the bottles, all of that. I always remember, especially even in my third grade year, I was bad, though. I was definitely bad. So I'll put that out there. I was bad. My dad would always be like, I was going to take you there. And I'd be like, damn.
I know, and you get all sad.
But the one that really hurt, it was the last day of school. And I don't remember what I got in a fight with. I still remember what the kid looked like, but we got in a fight the last day of school. I think I was supposed to go to Astroworld or Waterworld, or maybe it was a pass to both. I think I was supposed to get a season pass that summer.
Ooh.
Last day of school, I get in a fight, and my mom comes and picks me up, and at the time, all I can remember is, oh, damn, I'm in trouble. But it hurt so much when they just said, we're not going to Waterworld. And I had my bag with me with my towel, my shorts. I was ready to go that morning. You're going straight home. Crushed. Crushed. Maybe that's what stopped me from fighting on a regular basis. Because I went to fourth grade. I don't think I got in a fight. No. I moved in fifth grade, sixth grade, maybe like in eighth grade, and freshman year I got in a fight. And one was with the neighbor's kid where it was just a carryover of being an annoying neighbor. My mom was like, yeah, he probably deserved it.
Oh.
The other one was for something stupid in class. And me and the kid got in a fight, and afterwards we went to like in-school suspension for 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, that was stupid. I'm sorry.
See?
But that being said, the biggest one wasn't the times I got, like, punished or it was.
Is this what I'm looking forward to as we're having a boy? Because as a girl, I've never gotten into a fight.
No,
the whole time I was in school.
No, most boys don't get in a fight. Just the bad ones.
We're great. That's what I'm saying. Are we going to have this kid and just like, you're going down your father's steps. We're just going to just keep going and see how it goes.
No, once again, like, I think a lot of my troubles as a youth is my parents were successful and they worked a lot as a result of it. And they had me when they were like 21.
See, and that's why we should have two kids. And then...
Having another kid wouldn't have helped me. I probably just would have fought him, too.
Oh. Well, what happens if it was a girl?
Oh. Who knows? Like Chastity, I'm cool with.
See, these are all your cousins. See, there you go.
But they're my cousins. That's different than a sibling.
You don't know.
Like that. A cousin you see for 3 months a year, and you're like, nah, you took it. That's cool. I don't care. A sibling, that it's just kind of eggs on every once in a while. Like,
yeah.
I know the neighbor's kids.
Well, me and my brother, we're pretty close. Yes, there have been times where I'm like, why? Why? But I mean, as we got older, I mean, even now, we're all goofy and crap. And I mean, I mean, even with my half siblings, it's like, yeah, we were there every once in a while, like, but we're all good. I mean, I don't think we've ever, I hate you.
Yeah, look, I don't know. It's a weird issue with child raising. It's not easy. There's no manual to it.
Yeah, that's true.
And
we'll see how it goes, but we might have a scholar.
Yeah, and to give Adrian Peterson a disclaimer, even the state law says that there's a limit, and it's kind of
yes.
And it's kind of one of those definitions. It's judged by the community.
It really is.
Like,
yes.
And so even though it could have been legal or normal 30 years ago, if community standards have changed in the community you're living in and being indicted in, then what you're doing is wrong. There's no excuse for it. And then you still have to get 12 people of your peers to indict you.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. Like, that doesn't happen all the time, especially for cases like this. Like, you can ask anyone who works for CPS of the frustration they go through on a regular basis getting, like, really dangerous people away from kids.
Yes.
And they can't because there's not enough evidence or it's circumstantial, and they just can't indict it. So on that hand, yeah, it's weird. It's one of those lines. And it just might be that this was too long ago, that if you're comparing your instance from 30 years ago to now, completely different Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
There wasn't the internet. There wasn't TV.
Yeah, listening to Charles Barkley, he did comment. He's like, well, I'm from the South. I was like, I am too. But I wasn't whipped to the point where I was bleeding and or bruised or scarred. Well, yeah, maybe, you know, mentally, because I got in trouble. But, you know, I knew I was in the wrong. But as far as, like, it damaging to me for long periods of time, no. You know, I got punished. That was it. We continued on. It wasn't, I didn't leave any scars, bruises, nothing. Didn't go to hospital. Didn't wake up and say, what the heck just happened to me? You know, stuff like that. So, I'm not quite sure. You know, like you said, it's based on community and, you know, what you or what they at the time thought was right.
And one big argument that really burns my goat dealing with people when they talk about this conversation is, it's his kid, he could do what he wants. It's like, no, you know that. You know better than that.
Exactly.
Like, you don't own your kid. You can't keep your kid out of school with no education without a penalty from the government. You can't go and sell your kid's body parts on the black. You can't be like, hey, you got two kidneys, let me borrow one and just get rid of it.
Exactly.
Like, there's limits. There's taxpayers paying for their education, even though you're a super millionaire, whatever. That's just how the system works. There's a reason why there's CPS. There's a reason why there's all these protections for kids, because they don't belong to you. Like, they do belong to you, but in the law's eye,
to a certain extent,
they belong to the community partially.
Exactly.
Due to the investment in it. That's why they have public schools. That's why they have, like, the buses to make sure they get home safely. There's a public good of making sure kids are safe in a community. And it's the same reason why they have laws on vaccination.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have a child, you're investing in this child. You're investing that your child is going to carry on the name, to expand your family, all things good, but not smacking the crap out of them and you know, leaving them out and letting them starve. And your kid is an investment and it's family. So
yeah, like, there's rules that you have to abide by to live in society, and that's...
All right, JB, thanks. Charles, you look at the week, and it starts off with a graphic video of Ray Rice hitting a woman, and then the week ends with Adrian Peterson getting arrested for hitting a child. This could not have gone any worse for the Shield this week. What are your thoughts?
Well, Tony had a great point. The NFL obviously fumbled the entire Ray Rice situation, but we are bringing awareness to domestic abuse. That's a good thing. And Bart just said something interesting. Most men would not ever try to get any type of mental help if they felt like they need it. So those are two positives that can come out of this. Listen, you can't hit a woman. I feel bad that tape was ever shown. Ray Rice made a tragic mistake, and he has to live with that. But I do hope some owner has the courage, and it's going to take tremendous courage, to give Ray Rice another chance.
What about the other? Can you hit a child?
I'm from the South. I understand boomers' rage and anger, but I think, listen, we have to accept we were born in, he's a white guy, I'm a black guy. I don't know where he's from. I'm from the South. Whipping is, we do that all the time. Every black parent in the South is going to be in jail under those circumstances. I think, we have to be careful letting people, how they dictate how they, you know, treat their
Chuck,
children.
It doesn't matter where you're from. Right is right and wrong is
no,
wrong.
No,
well,
doesn't
matter where
well
you're from.
I don't believe that because, listen, we spank kids in the South. I think the question about did Adrian Peterson go overboard? But listen, Jim, we all grew up in different environments. Listen, every black parent in my neighborhood in the South would be in trouble or in jail under those circumstances.
Listen, my thing is, I don't want to tell anybody how to raise their kids, and I really don't want anybody telling me how to raise my kids. But let's make a distinction between child rearing and child abuse.
And that's a very
that was child abuse. There's no fine line here.
I think there's a fine line, Jim. I've had many welts on my legs in last
welts season. Like that. You
yes. Oh yeah, I've got beat with switches, and I hate to use. First of all, I don't even like the term. You know, when the media talks about it, and somebody just said something on television, beating a child. Listen, we don't.
But that's what that was, though, Chuck. I mean, you saw the
well, we call it spanking, or we call it spanking or whipping our kids.
If I see open wounds and bruises throughout a body, that is a beating.
Sure, I think those pictures are disturbing. Maybe I think Adrian said he went overboard. But as far as being from the South, we all spanked our kids. I got spanked, me and my two brothers.
But then, Chuck, not now, right? I mean, that 1964 is one thing, 2014 is another.
And that's
maybe
fair.
We need to rethink this.
And I totally agree with that. Maybe we need to rethink it. But I think we have to really be careful trying to teach other parents how to discipline their kids. That's a very fine line.
All right.
I think Jim Rome brought up a lot of good points.
Yeah.
In that, but as well as Barkley brought up a point that I did want to address, and I'm not sure if this is a difference in the community. We live in West Texas, and for the most part, we're surrounded by Hispanics, and like black people, Hispanics tend to pow pow.
Yes.
As the little kid says in the video, I don't want to pow pow
or
chocolates or it seems like I'm not sure. Is that a correct stat or just a perception of Barkley or a perception of society in general, if white people whoop their kids or not?
Well, I think that's his perspective because he kept constantly repeating, well, black family, parents, and you know, and I'm like, I mean, I can't say all black parents because I don't know.
No, not all, but in general, even it's been the running joke in the black community for years that, oh, white people don't spank that kid enough.
And that's always true.
So it's a perception. Is it a legitimate perception? And if so, is the utilization of spankings or whooping an outcrop from religious that it tends to be minorities, especially the older minorities, tend to have a higher rating of religiosity? Or is it something deeper than that? Because I think every conversation I've had this with of a person who's condoning it or condoning the action of whooping, not condoning the actions of Adrian Peterson in this particular instance, bring up the points is, this is what happened to me. This is what happened to my dad. If we went further back than that and we went to our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers, mm-hmm. by the time we get to our great-great-grandmothers, we're still in – yeah, like my great-great-grandmother? Would still be in slavery.
Yes.
It would still be in times of slavery. And he particularly pointed out the South.
Exactly. Which –
so is that an extension of slave culture to where an understanding of a community of how you discipline is through violence? Or is this an outcrop from religion where it's like spare the rod, spoil the child?
Mm-hmm. Probably both.
And I think that might be an issue that needs to be exercised as much as anything else is understanding where this thought process comes from. Because even Charles conceded that, yeah, it's probably not the same way and it shouldn't be the same way from 40 years ago to now. I got spankings. I got welts. I got hit.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Rome was like, that's abuse if you have an open wound or if it's coming up. If that's a beating by definition. And Charles acknowledged it like, yeah, it is. So even this, it seems like Charles Barkley acknowledges that maybe – punishments on him went too far, and by extension, maybe he acknowledges that punishments he gave out went too far.
Exactly. The good thing is that this is something that a lot of, not only parents, but just, you know, whether you have kids or not, that either you went through it or you didn't. And the people that did go through this, they're really looking back and saying, wow, well, that was wrong. Or that shouldn't have happened. Or, yeah, that's what happened to me. And no one did anything about it back then.
And as a result, I think this is why people are so angry with the NFL and their inaction on domestic violence, or this in particular. Like, they're not suspending AP, they're leaving it up to his team.
Mm-hmm.
Even though their new domestic policy says if you harm a child or a woman with the child, you get automatic 6 games. I think that's where they dropped the ball. They're in such a great position to lead the conversation to something, or to direct the conversation to something productive, and they're just dropping the ball. The first instance with Ray Rice, when they announced 2 games, everybody was like, that's pretty ridiculous from what we read. And they're like, no, that's right. We talked to domestic violence experts, and they told us 2 games is reasonable. And you're like, that's kind of crazy compared to what you suspend other football players for hitting other football players. You give them almost a year for doing it because they tried to hurt Brett Favre. But he hits a woman who's not in pads, and you gave him 2 weeks. And then they come back later and like, well, he gets a whole year now because y'all saw the video. Or this, to where their silence has been deafening. And they're in a position, as we could see with the breast cancer awareness, that they turn everything pink for October. Gloves, footballs, the cleats that the players wear, everything is pink, and bringing awareness to a cause. And pink has been – it's an awareness brought by almost all organizations now. Like, I think we even go to the store and we get pink eggs, or it's stamped with something pink, those Eglin Best ones, that it goes around so much because of that branding. When you're a nonprofit organization who makes over whatever billions a year the NFL makes, we'll say one, I think you do have some responsibility to help out the community and build awareness. And this is a time that they could take it and be like, look, with the Ray Rice thing, Goodell could have said, we messed it up the first time. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have the information to correctly handle domestic violence.
Yeah.
Or I didn't handle it correctly by making the victim admit her fault in front of her accuser, as well as surrounded by 4 other of his employers. That's ridiculous. I dropped the ball there. Just as they could come here and say, look, we don't condone what Adrian Peterson does, but it's clear that there's a story, and you go on the internet, it's kind of split. You have people who think both ways. How hard would it be for them to make an awareness campaign? Like, are you frustrated with your child, or what's going too far?
Mm-hmm.
There's videos or way to show it. Be like, oh, if you want to pop him with the chancla, okay, not abuse, as long as it doesn't leave a welt. Like, don't pop him, but if you just want to get their attention, do it. Or if you're going to hit him with the belt, that don't hit him on the skin or something.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just dropping the ball at an instance where they could make a real difference right now.
Because
you have entire communities that don't consider this abuse, and I could see why they don't consider it abuse. It's not their fault. What you know is what you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. Just an interesting conversation. I'm not sure if we came to any conclusions.
No.
But at least we were able to talk it out and just get our thoughts out there.
Yeah.
If you do have any thoughts, you could email us at weakasababy.com. You could also follow us on our website, weakasababy.com, and leave a comment there on this bonus episode. I'll post it at the same time with episode 16, though it won't be a part of 16. You have to listen to it separately because that's for something else. This is a discussion that's not concerning the birth or the infant. There's no reason you should be punishing a 2-year-old like that.
No.
And so, of course, they don't know they're doing wrong. The only way they learn is the word no.
Yeah.
And so, hold on. Let me see if there's any information.
And speaking of that, I don't think I, you know, it was probably like middle school that I really remember any of that stuff. But obviously I was a lot older, so I knew better type of thing. So
they're either don't spank at all or why the Bible says you need to spank, or Madame Noir, 8 reasons to spank your kids, or what's the problem with spanking or hitting spanking. So if you have resources, make sure you talk to somebody. Bounce it off someone. Go to a professional. If you have insurance, you have family counselors available to you. Usually insurance gives you at least 4 sessions for free. Even if you're doing like marriage counseling, they'll give you 4 sessions for free. If you don't have insurance, there's definitely resources out there. Think it through. Make sure that you're doing the right thing. And I'm not sure I could tell you what the right thing is. Only that you don't want to regret anything.
Exactly. And
putting the fear of God in your child, if your child sees you as God, might not be the best thing. You want a relationship with your child?
I say, yo, shorty, run to Royal. As I'm Lord and living on soil, it's best for Hassan one to spoil. So any toy he wants, he gets.
Yo, kids ain't worth it, Mr. Joy. Say they destroy your noise.
Don't mean a mob, the middle of fits a joy, and it's a boy.
It's a boy, y'all.
Pictured friends,
milk
game.
And cookies when you're done with the boys' game.
Toy playing,
Ricky Jr. being Bundle of Joy's name.
And forevermore, teach birds and bees.
So I won't be a nerd and burst herds.
Second and thirds, and dad'd better be the first words.
Just kidding.
Son to be a one man girl.
Spend a lot of me rearing.
Best of care, best of money can buy is what I be wearing.
Rip these weapons around.
Protective.
Just say in a cage I kept.
The wage at kindergarten probably be another major step.
Long but holy star hard.
And he'll be loaning him to sewing.
You know, and
throwing a fancy home for him to grow.
It's kind of pleasing to raise. So babysit, no thank you, he's in.
Sneezing.
And what do I do when he cry for no reason?
Though any toy he want, he get.
Your kids ain't worth it, Mr. Joy said they destroy your noise.
Don't mean a mom's in the middle of fits of joy, and it's a boy, yo.